official loveribelite.com podcast. My name's Dave Parkinson. I'm alongside Adrian Jackson, and this is a first. It's Championships Bite Size.
See, Peter, it's a bit of a sidestep at the start of this podcast because it was the start of the Championship and Championship One season, and then the road to the Highlord Jones started with some cracking games in rugby league.
So then, Adrian, let's have a run through the results. And first of all, with the Cooperative Championship, Dewsbury Rams 30, York City Knights 10, Halifax 44, Hunslet Hawks 18, Keighley Cougars 12, Featherstone Rovers 22, Lee Centurions 18, Batley Bulldogs 24, and Sheffield Eagles 56, Swinton Lions 22. Where do you want to start with that little lot?
I suppose you want to start with the TV game, Kenry Sports showing this one. Lee Centurions looking to get off to a winning start against Junkies, Batley Bulldogs. I suppose with Illegal, like they're on a mission to get the game done and dusted. They scored two quick fire tries through Rob Parker and Ryan Shaw to set up a good lead. But Bally hit back with two tries that all through Breverton and Priest to make a real game of it.
Yeah, 10 all at half time. And then the period just after half time, I think there was 15 minutes. And in that period of time, Bally had the ball for 12 sets of six. Now, that's enough to tip the scale in anybody's favour, but that led to their immense credit. They came up with several points in that period of play. First of all, a kick over the top led to Priest scoring his second try, then a wonderful pass from Mennell from dummy half into the right wing, saw Potts go over, and when Gareth Moore added his fourth goal penalty, 24-10, it looked like Lee were there for Buckland.
You may have heard it, but he did come back into the game with a try of their own through Renny Shaw, he got his second of the game just before the hour mark, and then Clay got himself a consolation try for Lee to make it an exciting last 8 minutes, but Batley just had enough in the engine to hold out.
Our man Steve Hyde caught up with John Keir afterwards.
It was a great opener for the TV, great opener for the Championship, and there were two highly committed sides who played some good rugby league, some tough defence, and it'll have been an entertaining spectacle.
Boy, sure, some great character, 10-0 down after 6 minutes, and came back and took the lead and never looked back.
Yeah, it was a whirlwind start by Lee. I mean, you know, they got us on the back foot, the cod was a bit cold, and obviously they took advantage of that, but, you know, all credit to my players, they dug in there, they hung in there, and they scrapped their way back into the game, and ultimately they posted a score that was good enough to win.
And then the forwards got on top. I mean, you've got that span, haven't you? You've got, you know, 9-6-7-1, and the forwards doing what forwards do.
Correct, yeah. I mean, we've tried to recruit players so that we had a good spine, and so we had a tough forward pack. And, you know, I'm pretty pleased as well with what the three quarters did today. I thought there was some excellent defence from Danny Moore, some great carries from Jason Walton, and I thought both wingers were very, very composed as well. So it was an all-round good game.
I mean, it augurs well for the season, but at the end, I mean, how did you see that? The scrum where it looked as it were formed, and then the Utah. I mean, I know that they were on the halfway line, but
The referee got it right. The ball's dead. If the ball's dead and the hooter goes, the game's over. If the ball's in play, you've got to wait until it goes out of play. The ball was dead, the hooter went, the referee calls time, that's it.
But now you've got him again in the Northern Rail, and if it's any half as good as that, it should be an even better attendance than there was on tonight.
Yeah, I think it'll be a cracking game, won't it? And, you know, there'll be two. I think Lee will believe they can beat us, we'll believe that we can beat them again, so it will be a heck of a contest, but that's some months down the line yet. There's a lot of games to be played between now and then, and we've just got to get on with the league campaign until that happens in, I think it's early June, so it's a long way away.
John Keir is going to have to have been delighted with the way that his team opened up, and for me, Adrian, for 50 minutes of that game, that they were all about the side.
Played a lot of good rugby league, didn't he? Some good attacking play as well. He really struggled to contain the trickery of Moore at the half-back role, and Swansfield John Keir would be more than delighted if Bally can continue with that kind of form throughout the season.
I think the thing with that Bally side, they've got four good pivot players, haven't they? I mean, Mennell was very influential. Ben Black was excellent with his short kicking game. There was one kick which led to a try, which I can think of. And then you mentioned that Gareth Moore, fresh out of Super League virtually, and he's still up at Super League pace, isn't he?
He is. He's took off for the Championship, isn't he? He proves that on Thursday. I'm surprised Wakefield didn't give him more of an opportunity to maybe establish himself in Super League.
Perhaps if John Keir was still there, he'd have more of a chance, wouldn't he? But certainly, Wakefield's loss is Batley's gain, and to get such a class coach like John Keir, he's going to be keen to add to his trophy tally, isn't he?
I'm sure he will. He's won everything within the game, and he's really excited to be out of the spotlight Super League into the Championship. I'm sure he'd be happy to add the Championship trophy to the rest of the trophies he's won within Rugby League.
The other game that stood out for me, I don't know about you, Adrian, was Keith Cougars taking on Featherstone Rovers. Now, I expected Featherstone to win, and they did win, but I didn't expect it to be quite as tough as it was for Daryl Powell's boys.
I'm sure they were expecting it as well. Jason Dimitri would have been more than happy with the performance. He wouldn't have been happy to have got the result, but Daryl Powell's men knew they'd been in a battle that had to really work hard for the 3 points that were up for grabs.
Keith led 8 points to six at half time, and I don't think there were many people who would have been expecting that, especially considering that there was a good travelling support from Featherstone as well, which boosted the coffers up to a gate of 1,600. However, Featherstone Rovers, classy permanent, isn't it? And certainly they hit back a couple of tries there from Sam Smeaton, and he is a really classy centre, isn't he, as far as the Championship is concerned?
A lot of ability, isn't he? I'm sure he's one of them players within the Championship that could maybe, given the opportunity, make the step up to Super League.
I think there's more than a few players who could step up to Super League, to be honest with you, Adrian. But we're going to go next. Well, I fancy going to the Don Valley. Well, actually, no, I don't fancy going to the Don Valley. I suspect that many teams won't fancy going to the Don Valley this season because Sheffield Eagles, when they're playing in that venue, they're at times irresistible, and leading 24 points to 6 at half time against Swinton, they completed the job.
Yeah, we just did the first half of Swinton, better performance in the second half, but unfortunately, they still conceded 20 odd points. In that second half to the Sheffield Eagles to lose heavily.
Now Simon Brown, he's a class kicker, isn't he, at the Championship level, one of several that are knocking around the Championship. He kicked 8 goals from 10 attempts, but guess what would have impressed Mark Aston a lot more in that game was the fact that the tries were very well spread out around the team, and in Luton, the guy, well, he's got one of the hardest to pronounce names in the Championship, he's also one of the best players.
Great player, isn't he? He's a great name, as I'm glad you said it rather than me, but he's carried off where he's three ended last season. That's in great form, hasn't he?
Swinton, do you think they'll have been happy with their second half performance?
I'm sure they would. I think it was a good performance in the second half. Like we said, that was done in the first half, where it's a great learning curve for them as to what to expect on the road in the Championship.
Fox and Hickson scoring 2 tries in the second half for Swinton, and a try from Darren Hartyard. Gavin Dobb kicking 3 goals from 4. And just to round up the other scores, we've got Sashtak, Yeary, Rambani, Hepworth, Finnegan, Morrison, Straffer, Hurst with 2, and the Luton, the guy, the try scorers for Sheffield Eagles.
That's round one of the Championship done wins for, like we said, Dewsbury, Halifax, Featherston Rovers, Batley Bulldogs, and Sheffield Eagles. Round 2 starts with the fixtures of Featherstone Rovers versus Leeds Centurions, then we've got Batley versus Keighley, Hornsey versus Sheffield, Swinton Lions versus Dewsbury Rams, York City versus Halifax.
I suppose you're going to ask me where I think wins are going to come from.
Exactly right.
You would. I've got to get off the fence overnight and start doing some tipping. Well, I fancy Featherstone Rovers to do the job over Leeds Centurions, probably by 12 to 14 points, I would imagine, there at the Big Fellow Stadium. I think that Batley Bulldogs, after the way they played against Lee, I think that they'll be heavily fancied when they're on the home turf taking on Keighley Cougars. Huntsley Hawks against Sheffield, Huntsley have it all to do again. It's a clash of the big birds there, isn't it, really? But I think Eagles will clip the Huntsley Hawks' wings. The Swinton Lions, that's an interesting one against Jamie Rams. I'm going to go with a draw there, a rarity. And York City Knights against Halifax, well, York caused a real upset, didn't they, when they played against Halifax last season and managed to beat them on their own turf. Can they do it again? Well, Halifax have some tremendous attacking players, as we know, but if the defence a little bit leaky, they conceded 18 points against Huntsford at home at the weekend. They're going to need to be much better, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think Halifax will be too strong for York City Knights and should come up with a victory. I totally agree with the rest of the fixtures, other than the fact that I think Swinton might actually beat Dewsbury.
So you heard it here first, put your bearing on Swinton Lions. Let's have a look at the Cooperative Championship 1. Now, some exciting first games took place over the course of round 1. Let's bring you the results. Doncaster 48, Whitehaven 16, Gateshead 30, South Wales Scorpions 32, North Wales Crusaders 24, Barrow Raiders 26, Rochdale Hornets 36, London Scholars 4, and Workington Town 14, Oldham 24. Where do you want to start with that?
The interesting thing is going to be North Wales Crusaders' first game in the Championship 1, the team that's fell out, that's come from the fallout of the Crusaders, who in Super League last year had a great start to the game, 20 points of 4 up, and Clive B he's been, must have been in treatment at half time. But whatever was said at half time to the Battle Raiders place seems to work wonders, isn't it? Because then Battle Raiders hit him with 22 points to win the game.
Fantastic comeback, if you like, from the Barrow Raiders in the first half. Like AJ mentioned, it was all North Wales Crusaders after Dixon gave Barrow the lead after just 7 minutes. Nottsdale, Durbin, Massam with two, scoring the tries in the first half. Brennan having two in the second with a try of his own, in addition to two goals. But they came home with a wet sail, didn't they? The Barrow Raiders, Larkin grabbing two tries, Dan Tulk continuing this fantastic run of form since switching from the amateur game, with another try to add to his tally, and Liam Finch with the crucial try 8 minutes from the end. Three goals from the boot of Holt was decisive in the final outcome, shall we say. But that's an increase in attendance as well, 1,500 with over at Wrexham. Just shows that there's a real appetite for the game there in North Wales, eh?
Good to see the rugby league flag still flying high in Wrexham. That's a great attendance. Good start for them. Hopefully it'll continue, and they'll get bigger and better as the season progresses. Well, so find that surprise everybody. It's going to be Oldham's great featuring at Workington Town.
Yeah, few would have tipped Oldham heading all the way up the M6 into Cumbria to take on Workington Town, especially when Workington have built a 10-6 half-time lead. Now, there's a try after just 6 minutes from Rooney for Workington. Oldham replied after 25 minutes with Gillen going over for a try. Mossop then went over on the stroke of half-time to gift Workington that lead, but it wasn't quite good enough on a superb second half rally from Alden clinched the points.
Looking at the rest of the performances individually, there's one Pat player who scored a hat trick in the Championship one. So a big pass from the back to Gary Middlehurst for Rochdale Hornets.
Yeah, three tries for Middlehurst. A very competitive player, you can say, by all accounts. Did really well at least. Did incredibly well coming through the ranks at Witness, didn't he? And has got a second bite really of the professional ranks. And that is a good first victory for Rochdale Hornets. When you consider they played against London Scholars last year and actually lost two of them away from home, to turn them off by such a margin at home, that's got to mean that John Stankovic was a happy man. The other standout performance, as far as I'm concerned, in round one came from Paul Cook. Now, much was made about his move from semi-imposed retirement, shall we say, to Doncaster. He's really stepped up to the mark, scored two tries, kicked eight goals. That is a fantastic win, 48-16 against Whitehaven. Few would have predicted that.
Exactly, he's never been away, isn't it?
Let's have a look at the fixtures coming up in Quantity Championship 1. I'll ask Adrian for his thoughts. We've got Barrow Raiders taking on Doncaster, London Scholars host North Wales Crusaders, Oldham take on Gateshead Thunder, South Wales Scorpions are at home to Workington Town, and finally Whitehaven take on Rochdale. And what for me is the game of the week.
Well, that's something that's great for the game of the week. It's going to be Barrow Raiders versus Doncaster. That's going to be a cracking game of rugby. It'll be interesting to see how Paul Cook goes about his business at the Craven Park against Barrow Raiders. See how he bored on by that great second half performance against North Wales Crusaders. So based on that, despite Doncaster having a great victory in the first game of the season, I think they will come to an abrupt halt at the hand of Barrow, who might prove to be too strong at home. North Wales Crusaders, taking on London Scholars, and the Scholars, they've been pretty decent in the Northern Rail Cup, might have been disappointing with the performance against Rochdale, but I think home advantages might prove to be the telling factor against the new boys in the Championship, one being the North Wales Crusaders. Look at the other game, Oldham versus Gateshead Thunder. You think Oldham are going to be far too strong for Gateshead Thunder, team that have yet to win a professional team in 2.5 seasons of training. That's an incredible record not to have. It's like Doncaster in the 70s, isn't it? So I don't expect Oldham to be too strong for Gateshead Thunder. Suffolk Scorpions against Workington, well, they're going to be upset to have lost to Oldham, maybe surprised that they got beat by Oldham. Are they going to be too strong for the South Wales Scorpions? I don't think so. I think the Scorpions have got far too much weaponry within their arsenal at home to not be worried about Workington Town. And the final one, Davis, is the game of the weekend between Whitehaven and Rochdale. John Stankovic will learn a lot from his team if they come away with a victory against Whitehaven. I think they'll get it as well.
It's always tough in Cumbria, isn't it? That's for sure. But we could say, what we could be saying over the course of the season, it's going to be tough in Wales as well, isn't it? Because, I mean, that's a long trip for Workington to go to South Wales Scorpions. They still have got to make the trip to Oldham. Now, I don't know, I'm actually half fancying Gateshead. I think that over the last couple of weeks, their performances have really, really picked up. And they're not that far away. It took a last-minute try from South Wales Scorpions. to actually clinch it. And even more, a conversion from Jamie Rooney, who's been doing that over the course of his career, hasn't he? But I don't think a professional victory is that far off for the Storm. Before we go, it would be remiss of us not to mention on Championship's Bite Size, the Northern Rail Cup quarter-final draw. Now, it was made during the build-up to the Championship opener between Lee Centurions and Batley Bulldogs. And curiously enough, here is the draw. Lee Centurions take on Batley Bulldogs. They couldn't have got that any better, could they? Keithley Cougars take on Featherstone Rovers in a repeat of the Round 1 Championship encounter. Halifax hosted Barrow Raiders and Sheffield Eagles host Hunslet Hawks. Those games to be played on the weekend of the 14th to the 17th of June, so long time between drinks until that all comes along.
Did see a report giving Lee Centurions a nice favourable home draw against Batley Bulldogs last year's winners against 2010 winners.
I worry he's done there actually, but I don't know whether Lee will be fancying that one. I think if they were looking at any of those eight teams and they could have drawn, they would have been fancying Barrow Raiders and Halifax getting that tie. But certainly with Dan Toll in some good form, hopefully that'll continue. They'll be able to give Halifax a game. But again, it's going to be interesting there at Cougar Park, isn't it, Keithley, taking on Featherstone. Again, over at Sheffield, they've made a brilliant start to the season, and there's a real chance of them chasing silverware this year.
What happens at this point of the season won't really matter when these games take place on the 4th and 17th of June. There's still a lot of rugby league to be played between now and then, so hopefully then teams won't get too many injuries to what will be their regular starting 13s.
That's just about all that we've got time for on this edition of Championships